Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.
Hello, we're here with Cliona Foley. Who's are we back, Cliona?
I'm struggling with my mic here.
We're just talking about how great it was to be on the radio. And that was
Without the technical issues.
We were talking about Conor Sketches here, and he's done a little thing online, did a little kind of impressions of all. I've never seen somebody do impressions of racing people before, but typically Conor has nailed it. And I'm on Twitter here, and the first three things in my timeline are links to Conor's sketches from people across racing. And if you haven't seen it, it's certainly worth a look.
They are brilliant. I mean, we know he can do golf and he can do GA and he can do lots of things, but his racing ones are pretty good as well. Welcome to Friday Night Racing. We hope we have our technical issues sorted out. I'm here with Johnny Ward, and on the phone we have Nina Carberry. He hasn't done Nina Carberry yet on that, has he?
No, Nina wouldn't be the easiest to do an impression of now. Nina's, but I'd prefer to do an impression of her than Paul now, in fairness.
What do you think, Nina?
In life and in impressions.
I think just give me a Photoshop, I'd be fine.
Nina, we've been trying to contact you, and we've just got set up because we understand that you've had an interesting journey this evening. And explain to us where you were.
The traffic wasn't great, and an accident, and then Garda checkpoints. You know yourself, so it took a while. Friday evening traffic.
Yeah. What are you actually up to for the weekend?
Up for the weekend, or should we have to watch? Bit of racing and just chilling out really.
What's your day today?
What's my day today? Working in Ballydoyle in the mornings and I suppose looking after my little girl, then in the afternoons and other things that come my way really.
It being International Women's Day, what's your little girl's name and how old is she now?
Rosie, and she'll be 2 in May. So she's flying it now. She's flying around.
How did that change your life? Because I suppose we all concluded that you were probably riding at your peak when you retired. But I guess Rosie was coming along, and it was probably a decision that had to be made.
Yeah, I suppose all my life I was working in racing, and I was giving it as much as I could, 110%, and I loved it, and I loved doing that, and. And when Rosie came along, I just put a new perspective on things. It was fine for the first. I came back racing. I think after 4 months I had her, and it was fine. She was a little baby in the corner there that wasn't really. It was just basically sleeping and needing food. And then by the time she got to one, she's more up and at it and interactive. And I just seen the times like she was basically. Going to my husband Ted a lot more than she'd come to me because I wasn't really seeing her that much. And so I just kind of put things in perspective. It was coming into the summer, and as you know yourself, there's 9 o'clock because the bumpers on in the evenings, and it could be 3 or 4 hour drive away from me. So it was fine during the winter where there was only three meetings kind of a week, and I could work it out. And now it kind of went from that, and I couldn't really take out the summer and come back in the winter really, so I just said this is my time now to stop, and that's basically how I approached it.
It must have given you great admiration of your mother Pamela as well, considering I'd say your house with your dad Tommy was pretty hectic when you were younger.
I had a great upbringing with loads of ponies around, and with 5 brothers as well, so I got a good introduction to horses that way.
Nina, the last we saw of you in action was on that day in Punchestown. I think it was last April, was it, Johnny, when you retired, and you retired on a winner, as always, as we knew you would. So tell us, what have you been doing since? Because we know you were riding out today, so what are you at?
Yeah, no, I ride out in Ballydoyle in the mornings, and I love that job, and it's brilliant to work with high-class horses, and obviously working under Aidan O'Brien is something special, and learning loads. And yeah, I've been there the last 5 years and really enjoy it.
And were you working in a sort of a trainer capacity or assistant trainer capacity with Noel Mead before that?
Yeah. So yeah, I was doing that for a year before I went to Aidan's, and I really wanted to get to know more about the flat, and no better place to go is Ballydoyle. So really, really enjoying it and learning loads down there.
And so that's in Cashel. Where are you living, Nina?
Yeah, Cashel, yeah.
And where are you living then? Is it a long commute?
In Cashel, yeah.
Or she's living in
Cashel.
Oh,
you were living
well,
down there.
Yeah.
So your hand is, I presume still that you were living up in Meather or in Kildare or somewhere. So it's not that far for you to go then?
No.
Right.
The thing with Noel Mead as well, was that going to be a long-term thing? Because, I mean, you must have been getting some education as well from Noel. Obviously, you go way back, but could that have grown into something longer term, or was it kind of a...
Yeah, I think at the time, yeah, I really wanted to get it... like Noel was a brilliant flat trainer at the beginning when he started off, and he went jumping then, and he didn't have many flat at the time, and I really wanted to get to know more about the flat, and I just said, could I, you know, what did he think about me going down to Ballydoyle for a month or so to kind of get the gist of it all, and it kind of worked itself out that Aidan offered me a job, and yeah, kind of just moved on from there, and I just wanted to get to know more about the flat really.
And is that 5 mornings a week, 6 mornings a week?
Yeah, 6 mornings a week, yeah.
And tell us the difference between riding those, what I call those prima ballerina flat horses and national hunt horses.
Obviously they're a completely different type of, they're, you know, ones are a lot quicker and the others are, you know, stamina horses really. Obviously the 2 milers would be quick over jumps, but yeah. More or less the flat horses are more leaner and they're more built for speed really.
And are they temperamentally, or does that vary just with every horse? It doesn't matter whether they're flat or jumps.
Oh, can the colts be different? More boisterous and they might nip you or, you know, spock out at you. You'd have to be more careful around them. They wouldn't be your laid back 3 mile chaser now. You wouldn't like give them a big long rein or anything. They go come and
you'd be holding tight.
Yeah, so you'd want to be on your lookout with them now. But I really enjoy working with the colts, and that was all new to me. And obviously the really good fillies down there as well.
And is there any particular horse that you really like?
In Ballydoyle?
Yeah.
At the minute?
Yeah.
Just to ride like.
Come on, Nina. Come on. Give us a couple.
You know when you're riding a horse and you really like riding a horse.
I rode out Japan there for a while. I liked him, so I look forward to watching him racing this season.
What do you make of him actually for the season? He's like, the Derby picture looks a bit all over the shop, but he certainly comes into that picture.
Yeah, his form is rock solid from last year. I can't see why he can't be in amongst the big grade ones this year. So definitely he could easily be a Derby hope, you know. I'd be keeping a close eye on him, anyway.
Do you know what the mad thing is, Tina? When I was down there, I was down for something or other last year, whether it was for the launch of the flat season. But Nina, just if you spend a morning in Ballydoyle, I'd argue it's probably the best concentration of jockeys at any one moment in the country outside of a racetrack. You know, and Ryan Moore isn't even there. The names there, if you could just list off some of the people you're riding out with.
Unbelievable, yeah. No, it's... Aidan has congregated an unbelievable amount of very good jockeys to ride, obviously, these real top-class horses. And, there's nothing spared, and they get the best of everything. And, there's not good riders down there. It's unbelievable now. It's great to be among them.
Nina, it is International Women's Day, and all week there have been loads of women in sport initiatives. One of them was around coaching, and I just was interested. Obviously, if you're down there learning your trade and learning about flat horses, are you thinking about training full-time? What are your thoughts about the future?
Yeah, I had my licence there for a while. My dad handed in his. I had a winner, but then it kind of progressed that I got the job with Noel as assistant trainer, and I really enjoyed that. So, yeah, no, I definitely wouldn't rule it out in the future. And, yeah, I've obviously gotten a lot of experience from 2 top trainers. And, I wouldn't rule it out, you know, in the future.
What would you worry about it with regard to going down the training route?
Obviously, you'd be worried about getting good owners. That's the main thing that will buy these horses.
Yeah.
You know, you need...
Yeah.
You need top-class horses to compete. You know, I could have seen Paul Nicholls' article this week on how he kind of stepped back from buying those big horses in France, and he kind of got left behind, and he had to get muscle in again. And, you know, and now he's back to where he was 10 years ago. You know, he's back fighting for Cheltenham again, you know. So it took him a while to get back to where he was, where he couldn't compete with the prices the horses were making. But I think it's all about having good owners.
You obviously have an eye on the flat as well, like Noel Mead would have had. To go to Ballydoyle must be a pointer that you have an eye on possibly training at least as dual purpose or just flat.
Yeah, no, I'd love to get involved in both. Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't like just to go down one route. You know, I think I like the turnover in the flat game, whereas you know a lot quicker. You know what to, like, what way they're going to go, whereas in the National Hunt, you're waiting a while. So at two, you're moving on. You're going quicker. Everything's fresh every year, whereas in the Nash Hunt game, everything takes a little bit longer.
Nina, you had on Cheltenham is just around the corner. I think this day week will be Gold Cup day, won't it? You had seven festival winners, I think, over there. Will you go this year?
No, I'm not actually going this year, no,
really?
Unfortunately. But I'll be watching it at home, and I know I'm really looking forward to looking at the whole week. I think it'll be an unbelievable week. There's so much hype about so many different horses, so I'm looking forward to seeing how the Irish get
and
on.
How difficult is it? Will it be not to be going? Because
I know.
When is the last time you didn't go?
I know. But
Rosie,
I'm
off to Cheltenham.
Then, you
bye
know,
bye.
By the time I was playing Rosie, but
yeah.
No, I'll really. I enjoy watching it anyway. I watched it for many years, watching Paul and Philip, and yeah, no, I'll enjoy it either way.
Do you have a favourite of your wins in Cheltenham?
Oh, sure. Obviously, your first is one of the most memorable, Dabaroon, but on the fringe, for me, was his first win there was incredible, and I think, yeah, that was. Yeah, no, that was something special that day on the fringe winning.
How special was it, Nina, that, you know, you had four individual lady riders last year winning from 28 races, one in seven, which is punching way above their weight in terms of the ratio of female to male riders. But to do it, obviously, Harriet Tucker broke her, dislocated her collarbone as well in the Fox
yeah.
Hunters.
Yeah.
I just thought it was, I'm very proud of racing, how much it kind of integrated it is.
Yeah.
But that must have been great for the sport, Nina.
Brilliant. Like, I think it's the only sport in the world that there's no gender bias. If you're good enough, you'll get there, you know. It doesn't matter if you're a girl or a boy. You're not. I think in racing, they don't judge you as a girl or a boy. They judge you on your ability, and that's what women strive for, like, you know. And I think it's an industry that, to me, I've never felt any bias. And the men in it, if they respect you, if you have your ability, and it's nothing to do with being a girl or a boy. And I think, like, the likes of Jesse and obviously Rachel Blackburn now, to get the opportunities, you'll do it, you know. You'll get there.
Did you see a change from when you started off to, I suppose, when you retired? There's been more lady riders maybe coming along the last few years, but was that acceptance for you always there? I know you were way above average in terms of where you came from, but did you find any change of trends or in terms of mindset?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, myself and Katie came from racing backgrounds, which was a massive help. We had a massive start, you know. We had people telling us straight away what we were doing wrong, you know, and
yeah.
That's why I admire the likes of Rachel, who didn't really have a background. They're listening to you're listening to your friends, and you know, they're expecting them to help you out or whatever. So we had our parents kind of, who have been steeped in racing, and that was a massive help for us to get going. And then Katie got in with Willie, and I got in with Noel, and kind of went from there. And we were able to show what we could do. But it was all about getting the opportunity at the start. And obviously the ladies' races helped me in a way, never mind Katie, but it helped me a lot to getting going. And the point-to-point scene had a lot of ladies' races as well. So that helped me getting the opportunities to go jumping and getting the experience. And then Enda one day rang. He said he didn't realise that the Open one day was a ladies' race. So JT was obviously lined up to ride this horse, Shady Lad, and he rang me to ride it. And I said, geez, I'd love to ride it. And that kind of opened the door for me into Enders. So everything was a stepping stone from ladies' races for me. And my first winner was for Noel Mead. So things helped me with the ladies' races. So you could nearly say that helped me a lot. And
so you think it's important to keep ladies' races from the point of developing jockeys as well?
Yeah. Definitely. It definitely didn't do me any harm. It helped me a lot to get contacts, you know.
Yeah.
And definitely the ladies' races helped me, and at least shows then that the trainers give you give you a go, and they'll see if you're able to ride. And once you show that you're a good 7 pound claimer, they're not afraid putting you up against the lads.
She mentioned Rachel Blackmore there, Clean. Like Rachel Blackmore, whether she was a man or a woman, where she left the amateur setup. You know, I remember when she became a professional, and I literally didn't meet one person who thought it made any sense because she was seemingly she was going nowhere as an amateur, but she hadn't really struck many people as being particularly able because she wasn't getting many winners, and she was kind of Nina. You mentioned it there as well. It's probably something that's not made. She wasn't really bred for the job, like the Carberries or the Walshes or whatever.
No.
She came, and it's just what an achievement. She's still in with this, you know, a fighting chance to win the jockey's title this year, which I think is quite incredible.
Yeah, I definitely utmost respect for her and how she put her head down and drove for what she wanted and had Shark behind her to support her. Obviously, her decision to turn was that she wasn't going anywhere where she was going and getting no money and getting knocked about in the point of points. And she's light as a feather. So it made no sense, really, for her to keep doing that. So obviously, the Sharks saw the opportunity that she could do 9-10 and claim off 7. So it made more sense for her to turn and be up against professionals, being looked after a lot more. And do light weights, and next thing she found her niche and she flew because people see she was about 25 I think when she turned, and she had all that experience under her. She wasn't green at all. She knew exactly where to be in a race, and she went from there, and next thing she started to fly, and everyone kind of jumped on the bandwagon, and her claim was gone.
Yeah.
And then she landed a lot of the rides for Gingisown, and now she's flying.
Yeah. So, and when you look at her, Nina, what do you see as her talent, particular talent, because she's just got a phenomenal return rate?
Oh, being able to focus and just keep the head down and keep going, and the amount of toughness she has. No, I admire her so much, and keeping things simple in a race as well. I've watched her a lot, and she rarely gets beat on a horse that should win. So I feel they jump very well for her, and she keeps things simple.
You mentioned Gigginstown there. Like Gigginstown would have used, Michael O'Leary's been massive in terms of her career, but he gave Lisa O'Neill 2 rides in Kerry Nationals. She won successive Kerry Nationals, which is astonishing.
He's not afraid at all, putting up girl. Like there's just... there's no bias at all, I feel, in racing.
If they think you can win, they think you can win.
Exactly, yeah. And I feel the Gigginstown, they just, if someone's lucky for you, they'll keep going, you know. They won't, you know, like, it's like anything. If you're lucky for someone, you know, they're going to keep you on. And Rachel's been very, very lucky all year, and please God she stays injury free for the rest of the season.
Well, she features strongly in the recent Jump Girls, the documentary, and TJ Cahir and yourself and Katie featured in it, and Lisa O'Neill and lots of women. What I thought was really nice about that, Nina, was that he set out to do, I think, a story maybe about women in racing, but it turned out to be just a story about people in racing. And I think people who watched it would have not have seen you as women, but just been fascinated about how hard people work in racing, and that your gender wasn't a factor.
Yeah, I thought it came across very well, and it showed everybody in racing, really, like the parents, like especially Niamh O'Neill's parents, like how when she got the fall in Cheltenham, and you know, you don't know what you go through that when you're watching it, like, oh God, I wonder, is she okay, you know? And that's the way it is, like, you know, you're just hoping everyone's going to be okay, and, you know, whatever about success, at the end of the day, you're hoping people will be okay. And I think they portrayed it very well, and that it is an up and down industry.
Yeah, and even as you said, with the difference between Rachel Blackmore and Lisa O'Neill, from you and Katie, where you came from families who were used to watching you taking risks the whole way up and probably put you on horses when you were very young, it's nearly harder for their families even to watch that as well.
Yeah, they don't understand. Yeah, they haven't been through before or anything like that, and they don't know who to go to or whatever. So, yeah, no, I think it portrayed the whole industry like it is.
Just one thing, Nina. I would argue there probably should be more young girls getting into flat riding. You know, we saw Emma Doyle win at Dundalk on her first ever ride for her dad, Tim. That was a great story.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's probably just a fluke, really. But if you look at Britain, we'll say, you look at Holly Doyle, Poppy Bridgewater, obviously Hayley Turner, Josephine Gordon. So you've all these riders making a big kind of claim. I haven't seen that as much on the flat for some reason in Ireland. We obviously had Aidan O'Brien, you know, had two daughters who were riding. Obviously Anna got injured on the flat, but do you think there should be I don't know, promotion of getting more girls involved, or why hasn't there been more?
I don't know, it's probably waves, but you can't force it either, Johnny. Like, you do have the ability or you don't, and you can teach them all what they can be taught. And to be honest, like, if you're not good enough, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a girl or boy. You just don't get there, you know. So you can't force it either. Like, they're going to have the talent as well. So it's probably just a case of nothing's come around at the minute, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's probably not the opportunities in Ireland as there is in England with the racing, you know. There's probably just at the minute where Cathy Gannon, she had the talent, Cathy, and she got there from nowhere. So it just shows you that.
Again, a completely non-racing background, didn't she? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And she went to race, went through the academy, and she got through the top and got top apprentice. So
I always presumed, Johnny, I must be wrong, I always presumed maybe it was a weight issue with flat racing, that it was harder for women to do the weight.
No, it wouldn't be. In fact, it's quite the opposite, actually. Because so this is an argument that I've made. Now, I've more or less borrowed the argument from someone else, but like, lads are going to get too tall to ride on the flat in Ireland unless the weights are brought up. A lot of lads are just, like, you have a situation in America now where there are very few native US riders. They're basically all coming from South America. So that was the thing I thought, Nina, that over time, if weights don't ride, it'll be more of a thing.
It will be an advantage. To be a woman. Yeah. Right, that's interesting. Yeah. On
and
the flat.
I always said this kind of. I might be discriminating here a bit to an extent, but I always thought there were some horses, and this is kind of. I don't know if this is being counter-sexist or what, but I thought female.
We'll forgive you, Johnny.
I thought female riders got on better with particular horses for certain reasons. Just, I don't know, was it just kindness or hands? Maybe it's individual to the person, but is there any kind of truth in what I'm saying there, Nina? That,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Every horse is different, and definitely, even trainers would say putting up a girl on a horse at home that doesn't want to be bullied, you know, or even in a race, if you're. You know, sometimes, and I know, Paul rode very sympathetically as well. He wouldn't be one that would be bullying. So you could often say that the men would ride very sympathetic as well. But definitely some horses would go better for a girl. Obviously, they probably wouldn't be as strong in a finish. Because of that, the horse might run on better, you know, or, you know, with hands and heels, like, you know. So, yeah, definitely, Johnny, the horses would run better for a girl.
Did you regret not going pro?
Yeah, that was my question.
I'd had the winner on Dabaroon, and I was claiming five, and it was probably my time to think, was it going to turn? And I was half thinking of it, and I talked to Dad and Paul about it, and at the time Slippers was amateur to Noel, and Niall Madden was amateur to Noel, and he had plenty of jockeys at the time, along with Paul. I think Dennis O'Regan was there as well. And then Niall turned professional from being an amateur, and Noel came to me and he said he'd love me to be his amateur. And so I had to go back and think again of what to do, and I basically told him I was thinking of turning and I wanted to be an apprentice as well. And he said, it's up to yourself, but I feel I can give you plenty of opportunities as an amateur. And I kind of thought about it, and I'd have a ride at Cheltenham every year, and, you know.
I think you're underselling yourself there, though. Like, I mean, one ride at Cheltenham, you could have, if Rachel Blackmore is doing what she's doing, you had the capabilities to do even better, probably.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I was kind of running out my claim of five. It's hard to know. Obviously, I went down the amateur route, because I was going to have those bumper horses, so it was probably a safety net for me, whereas I don't think Rachel had nothing to lose to turn, you know, if I turned, I would have been losing probably the job as an amateur, and going back, and probably if it didn't happen, I probably would have, you know, probably wouldn't have been able to turn back.
So, I think you have some regrets.
Pardon?
I think you might have some
regrets.
I never
realised you came that close.
Yeah.
I never realised you thought that seriously about it.
I think I love. No, obviously now there's probably more opportunities. I might have, because But I still don't regret being able. I still probably wouldn't have had my seven winners in Cheltenham. Like, you know, I just realistically, you probably wouldn't. You
and,
know?
And 398, so, nearly 400 across National Hunt and winners, yeah, that's such a hand. Yeah,
no,
amazing.
I don't have any regrets. Obviously, at the time, I was thinking that way, right. But no, I don't have any regrets that way.
Johnny, she's not in Cheltenham either in person or as a jockey. And there's always one rule in Cheltenham, or always was one rule in Cheltenham. There was always a banker for the bookies. What are they going to do without her?
Well, that was the thing. Like,
what
Nina,
are they going to do?
But Nina was Nina got so many men out of jail in Ireland, like, you know, and I mean that in the nicest possible way.
And
because
possibly women as well.
It was mainly men now, because women are generally a lot more sensible than men. They don't
exactly,
bet on the bumper.
In terms of punting, yeah.
Nina was always right, or invariably right, in the favourite. And basically, I always used to marvel at the fact that there was a lady riding the bumper, but we all wanted Nina to be on the favourite because she was the
Nina
best.
In the fox chase. And
she, you know, amazing. But Nina's very modest, being from the Carberries, but Nina was a gifted rider, and she would have been way better than a lot of the pros. And Paul would have said she was, you know, right up there with him in terms of ability. And when Nina rode in a race, it was you could never tell. And this has kind of gone a bit obsolete now, you know, saying that you couldn't tell it was a girl. But Nina just had, she's the most polished, beautiful style, very strong in the finish. Brilliant, brilliant rider.
Patrick Mullen said she was the hardest jockey to pass. In
yeah, like Nina was more talented to me than Bryony Frost, Rachel Blackmore, Lisa O'Neill, even Katie Walt. Nina was the best lady I've ever seen riding. Hasn't been surpassed. And if she had turned pro, she would have had a great career. The fact that she didn't is really neither here nor there now. But she will be massively missed at Cheltenham because she was a big part of it.
Yeah, huge, huge part of it. And why did you ride so well over in those cross country races, and why did you love them so much?
It helped that you were riding for Enda Bulger.
Enda Bulger.
Yeah, the horses.
Yeah, obviously Enda Bulger. I talked a bit about Shady Lad, and he was my first ride around the banks in Punchtown, and so that's how that door opened up. And I never forget. I got a picture. I think he finished second on the first time around there. I was on him, and I got a picture of the bank down the bottom, and my hands are up over my ears, nearly coming off the bank. And my mother sent it on to Enda. Well, Enda nearly died. He was like, "Oh Jesus, what are you doing with your hand?" So from then on, I was like, "Oh God, I better start." You know, tidying myself up, or I need to be, you know. So I actually went down to Enda's every Friday to ride out, and it taught me so much.
And schooled on banks, did you?
Pardon?
Did you school on banks then?
So we got a great education in the Limerick, I should say the Outback, and brilliant education, and I learned very quickly.
And even as somebody who doesn't punt, they're just such beautiful races to watch. They're like to just cross country chasing. Anybody who's ever ridden anything over a fence as
the
a kid
thing
just
well,
knows
you just
how
watch,
wonderful.
Tell them there, everyone just flocks to the inside when the race is on, and you get the atmosphere so much when you ride around there, and it's so nice because you can actually enjoy the race a lot more because it's quite long race and you pass the crowd about three times, and it's a great special race.
Well, it looks like you're enjoying it, so that's really interesting to hear. You actually are enjoying it,
yeah. Especially when a jumper like that doesn't make a mistake, or you know, rarely makes a mistake. They know what they're doing. You just sit there, and it's enjoyable. Yeah.
People knock those races because you know they're obviously a bit idiosyncratic. But I always thought, Nina, like, it really showcased the talents of a horse to be able to adapt to such various obstacles. Like It's almost like you're jumping off a wall one time, then you're hopping a hurdle from a human perspective. And
They have to be very adaptable and be sure-footed. And like the likes of Garda Champetra, who'd reach a mark over fences, and he wasn't going to go much further after that. And he went cross-country and he cleaned up. Mm. And it was a new lease of life for him and a new career for him. And it was great to be able to ride him and to be on him, and he was enjoying it so much. He didn't probably enjoy the fences that much, and he just loved jumping the hedges and the banks.
And it strikes me, Nina, as well, that Johnny was saying it actually showcases the best of a jockey as well.
Oh,
you have to be incredibly adaptable as well, don't you?
I suppose, yeah. Like, yeah, you have to have the, probably a bit of experience around the banks and stuff. And yeah, the hunting helped me a lot at the start as well. What way to be over bank? So yeah, no, that was all.
Yeah, well, look, at Friday Night Racing is brought to you here by goracing.ie. Nina, are you looking at Cheltenham? Is there something that you would have as a banker then if you were looking at Cheltenham this year?
I've always been a massive fan of Sir Eric, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him running, and I hope that he is Ireland's banker and he'll go and do it. I've always been a massive fan. He was in Ballydoyle as a young horse, and I was always looking at him thinking, oh, he'd be a lovely bumper horse.
Yeah, do you
and,
eyeing him?
And then he went on and he went jumping, so it was great to see JP have him and to go the jumping route, and he's still a full horse, so it's quite exciting to see if he does go and win. You know, it'd be great to have a full horse go jumping.
And also, before I let you go, when you're in Ballydoyle and you're there riding out every day, you also know how important the stable staff, how much of an interest they will be taking, and the crack that will be there for the week when they're watching Cheltenham.
Oh yeah, there's loads of camaraderie and who's going to win this and what do you fancy in this? Yeah, no, it's a great buzz, and everyone just sits down and watches Cheltenham. Like, it doesn't matter if you're flat or jumping yard, they all love it.
Well, listen, you won't be there, but obviously we're delighted to hear you're still riding and really interested to see what will happen in the future. We might, I suspect it sounds to me like she's going to be training, she's going to be back inside the paddock in future years.
I've one more.
Johnny has one last question.
So I could really tell you were kind of half, you know, getting a bit emotional there when you were saying Rosie was going to Ted over you. Did you address the balance there?
She's stuck to me now.
Poor
yeah,
Ted.
No, she's great.
All right, Nina, listen, allow me to talk to you, and best of luck
with
everything.
Thanks, Cleena. Thanks, Johnny.
Now, Johnny, look at brilliant too. But I mean, you could just still hear the enthusiasm in her voice.
Like that family, Paul was the most gifted rider I've ever seen. Nina was the most gifted lady rider I've ever seen over jumps. I think a lot of people would agree with me on that. Paul. It's hard to describe Paul in terms of when Yeats spoke about how do you tell the dancer from the dance. It was hard to tell the artist from
separate
the
art. Separate him from the horse.
Yeah, and yeah. Paul would do things in a race that would literally have you wondering whether you were actually, you know, whether you were still suffering the effects of the night before, because you were like, did I just see what he did there? But he would make bad horses think they were Nijinsky, and a famous story of Dermot Weld asking a friend of mine to bring a horse that he was working with to Galway, and he said, I'm not bringing that horse, he can't jump, I'm not wasting my day going to Galway. Paul Carberry rode him, he won on the bridle. Paul was gifted, but yeah. Nina would have... The only thing was, it was probably rare enough for professional lady riders until sort of Rachel and
Brian.
Well,
Bryony. That's the thing, you see, they broke the mould at amateurs, really, herself and Katie, and now you have Rachel Blakenett as a professional.
Yeah.
Like, once somebody does it and they're really successful, trainers then just don't ever think about it. I think they just go with gender doesn't matter, whoever's best, put them up on the horse.
No, and I think you asked Nina what Rachel's best attribute was. I think Rachel has an incredible work ethic and she's very reliable. I wouldn't say she's as talented as some of the other riders in Ireland, which is no disgrace because we have the best riders in the world probably. But she's very talented, doesn't really make mistakes at all, and she is very reliable. And a lot of jockeys with the nature of the game that they're in, they're not necessarily reliable. They wouldn't have that work ethic.
Well, she said it because she said she puts her head down and she keeps going. And
yeah,
that's that work ethic. Keep driving on. The amount of horses she's ridden this year.
Incredible. And she's
unbelievable.
She's reluctant to give interviews because I think she's so fearful of getting ahead of herself, or seen to be getting ahead of herself in relation to the Jockeys Championship, which she probably won't win, but she's still there with
she's
a fighting
second,
chance.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It'd be incredible if she went to Punchestown with some sort of a chance, because I think she'd get a lot of backing, because a woman to win the champion jockey thing would be incredible. But Nina's interview was so refreshing there, because the argument that, you know, we're all striving for equality, but like, she's so refreshing when she says a lot of women haven't become jockeys because they weren't good enough or they weren't strong enough in the finish. Like, fair enough, if it's almost, you can't say certain things now, like, you know, a woman is less likely to be strong in a finish, or a man, or, you know, black guys basically run faster than white guys, mainly, you know, we're not, it's almost like we're not able to say that. But we know that in racing, 50-50 more or less is staff split, gender balance, and
in stables.
Yeah. And I don't see any kind of inequality towards the attitude towards female riders or female trainers, because we all know how good they are, yeah. And we don't care. We just want to get results, and I think
Rachel Blackmore as well doesn't want to get brought into that debate about being a woman. She's trying to say, yeah, as they always did as well. Look, I'm a jockey. End of story. I'm a jockey.
It's when we get to the stage where we don't say it anymore. It was like when Willie Mullins was talking about Rachel. She's not a lady rider. She's a good rider.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we had a poll there during the week where people were asked, would they have a bet on a team if it were managed by a woman? And an overwhelming minority said they wouldn't. There's a lot of stupidity out there. There's a lot of caveman attitude to things that we need to get by. But in racing, I think, whether we like it or not, we're light years ahead of other sports in terms of gender equality and balance.
And that notion about women sometimes not being as strong in the finish, you're talking about being as physically strong, but hasn't Rachel Blackmore proved that to be wrong?
Even that's kind of a bit of a generalisation, because I don't think Nina, first of all, strength in the finish is way overrated.
Tactics and
getting the horse to jump and getting the horse relaxed are far more important. Strength in the finish only matters for a select number of horses, and in any event, it's the last part of the race. It's not the most important in my view. Nina in a finish, flawless. What she was saying there was
sometimes it's not about strength, it's about how you're riding the horse.
Absolutely.
It's how you're getting them to go through the lines.
Horses are not machines that you have to get a manual to figure them out. Yeah. They're very, very complex creatures, and they click with certain riders. And we're in an extraordinary position at the moment where you look at the likes of Josephine Gordon. Bryony Frost is a beautiful, beautiful style on
a
horse. I genuinely believe Bryony gets a tune out of horses that male jockeys just can't get. I don't know if it's her loose rein style. She's a very unique handling of the reins. She's very positive on horses, without being forceful. And maybe, again, I'm buying into the generalities here, but Bryony's a brilliant rider. And we're going to have a situation, perhaps in the Ryanair Chase, where Bryony and Rachel are going to be on two fancied horses in Frodon and Mona Lee. And we won't have Nina, but we'll have that, and we'll have Lisa O'Neill riding some good horses as well. But I think it's just something racing still doesn't promote enough, in that in France a couple of years ago they brought in an allowance for females.
Right? Yeah, and there was quite a lot of controversy over
it. I was totally against that.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's effectively saying you're inferior to me. Now they would say it's given opportunities.
It's like positive discrimination.
It's positive discrimination.
To make sure more trainers would give them a chance.
Yeah, like a human, like apprentices are a human.
Did it have any effect?
It did. I think they actually redressed it, because the females were getting more of a, you know, but they were giving them a £5 advantage or whatever it was.
So
that's basically like giving a team a gold star in a way, or a couple of points start in football. So it wasn't fair. But I don't want us to be telling female riders you're worse than the males, because you're not. In fact, a lot of the time you're better.
Now we're seeing.
You see Jessica Harrington, 71 years of age. She had her first Gold Cup winner 2 seasons ago. She had her first Irish Grand National winner, her first Gold Cup winner with her first runner in the race. And I think the same year she turned up at Cheltenham in a sling, because she'd been injured skiing, and she's back on a horse in her 70s. That's the women I want to hear about in racing.
Yeah, it's
not
funny.
The best dressed lady.
Yeah, well, don't even start me. Just interesting, actually, about talking about Paul Carberry and about the Carberries and what they grew up doing. I remember one time being over, anybody who knows anything about sort of hunter chasing and that will know Charlie O'Neill's yard down in outside Clane. And there was always a big hunter chase or a hunter trials there on a Good Friday. And I went down one day, and it wasn't a racing day, and there's Paul Carberry tearing around on a horse.
Well, Paul,
on his day off, technically. You know, the one day off the week he probably had off racing, he's down doing hunter trials.
Paul can definitely sue me for defamation now if he wants, but I do think he was injured riding a stag one time, or certainly he got up on a stag at the hunt. And
did he get injured going skiing one year as well, and all kinds of things he shouldn't have been doing? Yeah.
Anyone that knows Paul would say that the stag story was probably pretty light compared to some of the stories. He would do anything. He was a daredevil. He still is. Sometimes when you talk to him, there's almost like a kind of a loss in Paul, because he's not riding anymore, and he retired because he kind of had to. He was pretty broken up. But was Nina much worse than Paul? Absolutely not. And Nina did more, to my mind, for our attitude towards women in riding horses than anyone because she was so bloody good. It was just like, well, God, if I want Nina riding it, I don't want, if you wanted any horse riding a bumper when she was around,
yeah,
it was,
well,
Nina
was
Carberry.
It, yeah.
And she was not the 58 men that could have been riding the favourite. We wanted Nina Carberry because she was the best.
Yeah, well, she'd be missed, definitely she'd be missed, because in Cheltenham that was always everybody's banker, definitely. You're listening to Friday Night Racing here, and it's brought to you by goracing.ie. The Tote Irish Indoor Jockeys charity fund remains at 2,000.
Ah, come here. You're getting the Ger terminology here. Remains, stays stubbornly, stuck at, you know. Bloody hell. Like, Clean, I thought you were going to be easy on me.
Well, it remains. I'm saying it remains there at just over 2,000 euro. 2014, exactly.
What's your point?
Cents. Well, just the weekend, the action is coming up at Nace, and we want you to have a chat and tell us, give us a few tips on these things. Is there a £100 bet courtesy of the Tote to try to add to that? Well, now look, that's, you know.
Well, this week we will add to it in the big race at Nace. So I'll get to my nap first, which runs in the 3:45. We have a situation here where the mare in the race, Camellia de Cot, she's actually a 7-year-old filly, but she's giving way to Kaiser Black, who's quite well named because he's by Germany, who is the stallion of Faheen and Sam Crow, who could have been run against each other in the World Hurdle next week. But Kaiser Black, I don't think he's flattered by his run behind another mare, Labago Roy, at Leopardstown. I think he is a good thing in the 3:40-45 at Nace, and hopefully we won't be as stubbornly stuck on whatever it is after that.
And that's your bet. That's your tip for that one. Okay, so what about the rest of the weekend then?
Yeah, so for Saturday we've a tricky card at Goran. Finally got a bit of rain as well this week, Clean, and a bit of snow, which was quite badly needed. I know the weather is nuts, but we did need rain, and Goran, I think, is a little bit on the soft side. We've a good handicap chase, 3:40 at Goran. That's a 50 grand race. Interesting to see how Dolciano Dici goes on there for Willie Mullins. He's been a bit disappointing, but my nap is probably not the most original selection in the world, but he runs earlier on in the card, and that's from Eden for Gordon Elliott in the 3:05. And also on Saturday, we have the Imperial Cup. And this was the real kind of precursor to Cheltenham race, the Saturday before Cheltenham. And sometimes you could win this and it would bring you into one of the... into one of the handicaps. So I'm not sure of its relevance towards Cheltenham this year, but the top weight, Call Me Lord, very interesting for Daryl Jacob from Wexford and Nicky Henderson, who was also one of the people who Conor Sketches did a little...
He does very good, Nicky Henderson.
Yeah, very good, Nicky.
So, and what about Sandown and Nace then at the weekend?
Yeah, so it's Nace then on Sunday. Back to Nace, possibly your local track?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
cracking racetrack.
Punchestown is actually closer to me.
You certainly have the best tracks on your doorstep. Yeah. We also have the Leinster National, which is another, I think it's a 100 grand race, and a very, very tricky race for punters. I would tentatively be with Rachel's Mount, Ruishmore, 10-1 for Joseph O'Brien.
Okay, and is that the lot for the weekend then?
That's it. I can't burden you with any more pain. but good to get out. If you're not going to Cheltenham, I must give a mention to Brendan Duke as well. Brendan Duke is son of the trainer of that name. He's a well-known media personality. Not well enough known, because he should be probably on more media than he is. But he's told me all week, I can't go to Cheltenham. You know, I just can't go to Cheltenham. You know, it's maybe a bit pricey. And I asked him today in the Racing Post, are you going to Cheltenham? No. I went out the door. He texted me, something's changed, I'm going to Cheltenham. So Brendan Duke will be there.
Is going to be there.
Brendan will be there.
Just finally, before we finish up, does Cheltenham ever get old for you?
It does actually on the Friday every year, because you're like, God, I don't know if I can live anymore. It's getting so tiring. It's really tiring.
It's gone very long.
It is. Even if you're like, I prefer the 3-day festival, being honest. But even if you're working there, and I generally work, I can't really socialise. It's just, I'm not able to do, not able to burn the candle both ends anymore. You're very, very tired by the Friday. And I was sort of toggling with the idea of extending the weekend. I'm going to Liverpool game on this Sunday against Burnley, so I'm going over for the week. And I was looking at prices for Ireland and Wales in the rugby, just for a bit of a jolly on the... I'm not really into rugby, but there's a jolly up on the Saturday, and the tickets were £130 when I looked. I think they've gone up 2 or 3 times in price since Wales beat England.
Definitely.
But I just said to myself, by the time Friday night comes, all I want to do is go home. But while you're there, it's the best show on earth.
Is it?
Yeah,
still?
It's great crack. It's great crack.
All right, well, look, there'll be lots of yards around the country who'll really be enjoying it, you know, and they'll have they'll have riders there, they'll have jockeys there, they know, and it's a special week, I think, for everybody involved in Irish racing.
Safe trips to everyone, obviously jockeys and trainers as well. And just, I hope everyone comes back safe and sound. You know, it can be a tough festival as well. It's, you're riding at the top of, you're riding in a dangerous sport at the top of your profession, and let's hope everyone comes back safe and sound.
Great. Well, that's it from Friday Night Racing. Thanks, Johnny. And thanks again to Nina Crowley.
We'll have you on again.
Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.